You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
I have friends. Objectively, I can say that I have all the friends. I have friends. I definitely have friends. Friends, friendly friends. Time to meet my friends. Amy.
Angela.
Shannon.
Moosh.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. No one can say that we do not have friends.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. Friends, friendly friends. We have all the friends.
Cool.
All right, welcome to the Crazy Ex-Girlfriends podcast. This is Moosh, and you heard the rest of our names. Well, let's go through them again anyway. We've got
Amy,
Angela,
Shannon.
And Shannon is joining us for the first time, and hopefully many more, because four is a good number for this discussion, I think. But we are here to discuss the TV show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. It's a CW show that is on Netflix. Most of you have probably watched it, but anyone who's new out there who hasn't, here's your quick recap. It is a show that follows this girl, Rebecca Bunch, who moves from New York City, where she's a high-powered lawyer, all the way to suburban California, West Covina, California, to not pee with her ex-boyfriend, Josh. And that is the setup.
To not be with him.
Yeah. But of course, she's there to be with him. So we are in season one recapping. We're doing two episodes at a time. Today, we're going to be doing episode six, which is Thanksgiving with Josh's family, I think.
Yes.
I wrote down the exact names, and of course, I don't have them in front of me.
It's my first Thanksgiving with Josh.
So it's even more personal and weird and creepy.
Psycho.
And then the second one is I'm so happy.
Josh is happy. Which is how I feel like you need to say that title.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy for him. I'm so glad him and we'll get into what they do.
Yeah.
But so that's basically it. I think that's all we need to know. Before we get into the recaps, I want Shannon to describe how she got into the show, where she's at in the show. Because we did this. How many seasons we've seen, if we're currently rewatching, or if we're just fresh and brand new to it.
Yeah, so how I got into it was actually from Moosh. We had a night of red wine. We found out we both love bullet bourbon. And then we were she told me I should watch the show. And I let it sit with me for a while. And then
was it Galentine's Day?
It was Galentine's
Day.
Yeah.
Which is another TV-friendly event.
But yeah, Parks and Rec, girl power. Let's celebrate Galentine's Day.
That's right. Drink wine.
Red wine. Was that – just order a lot of wine, or did we buy a bottle? And
we didn't buy a bottle, but we should have. We drank enough wine, we could have.
We had carafes. I don't know. We had a lot of wine.
Yes.
So I'm pretty new to the show. I watched one episode, and then, the first few episodes are hard to get into. So I let it sit for a bit, and then I started watching again, and I kind of became obsessive about it. I watched probably 11 episodes or so in a week. And then I talked about how much I loved it, was invited to be on the podcast, and then I got my obsessiveness. So I was like, I have to rewatch episode 6 and 7, and I need to take 2 drafts of notes. And
my favorite part of we sat down, and first of all, Shannon loves Angela's notes because they're color coordinated and there's highlighter and they're
There's circles
and it's great. It's something to behold. But then Angela looks over at Shannon and is like, oh, your handwriting is so nice. And what did you say?
I said it's because it's my second draft.
Which killed and almost killed me because I'm coming off a cold, so I coughed a little. It was great. If we're lucky, I'll cough a lot during this episode.
It's a sign of success.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I guess we're going to go right into recaps now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Who did I give which? Or Amy gave them out, but yeah.
Yeah, Angela's doing those.
I have six.
Angela is doing six.
Okay, so the episode is My First Thanksgiving with Josh. There's 3 general plot lines. The A plot is Rebecca's adventures with the Chan family. I guess B would be Greg hanging out with his dad and his dad's health issues. and C would be Paula with her family and her unhappy family life. So basically, everything's happening around Thanksgiving, and everybody's having a crappy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Everybody gets crap for the holidays.
we open at a cup of boba. Rebecca is talking her head, like, just rambling on about Josh to, like, the two twins that are that at the counter.
Because this is coming right off of the episode where we end on Josh being like, Rebecca, shouldn't be telling you this, but I am super attracted. No, not super.
Oh, I'm very,
very attracted to you. But nothing can happen, and I'm in love with Valencia, so.
Yes, which she doesn't hear that last part.
No.
But the very thing I found kind of interesting, I know Shannon did too, is Rebecca, well, it's a writer's joke, because the word very means nothing, and it's stupid, and like any editor will tell you, take that out.
Yeah.
But, and she knows this, Rebecca knows this, like,
she's a lawyer.
She's a lawyer, and she was obsessed about the apostrophe in spiders. Like, she is,
right.
She is that kind of person. So the fact that she's putting such significance on the word very means that she's just delusional.
She's off it.
Grasping at straws.
Mm-hmm. Oh, poor girl.
But then again, who hasn't, right?
Yeah. All the time. Yeah. That's why these episodes hurt so much
I
to
know.
Watch.
Okay, so we have that opening. And then we see her at White Feather talking to Paula. I think they're... And it goes into a fantasy sequence where Rebecca's fantasizing about possible Thanksgiving with the Chans.
Yeah, please describe this for everyone. How this looks, how this feels, how this sounds, because it's crazy.
It's in black and white. Okay. It looks like something out of Charles Dickens. And I believe they're speaking with, like... English/Atlantic accents from the 40s.
Please read the library book story.
Miss
Rebecca, please.
Yeah, which I just love that because I can't.
it's more writery jokes, more like super literary nonsense. Mm. Even like the accents is like such a comedy thing to like throw that North Atlantic like transcendental accent in there for no reason.
Yeah, and it's also like squashing expectations too,
because
you don't expect like this fantasy of this Asian family to involve like these accents. Mm-hmm. Then they're at home. Then we're at home base. Rebecca, okay, the little kid's name is Chris.
Yes. Chris, okay. And they said it like 15 times in this episode because we came off the podcast recording and we all wanted to look it up. And like as soon as they introduced Chris, it was like, Chris says this. I'm like, okay, this is the universe giving us a sign not to forget this name ever.
Okay, and we find out Greg is planning on quitting his job. And it also comes out that Valencia doesn't quite get along with the Chans. And Chris says, might be my favorite line in the episode, Asians don't like dumb people.
I don't know if Greg says it or like I say it in response, but like, doesn't he say the line low-key racism?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, I love that term. It's been in my head forever.
And then... We're at the Asian grocery store with Rebecca and Paula. It seems like Rebecca doesn't quite know why she's there. Paula has arranged somehow to run into Mrs. Chan. And let's see, later on, Paula finagles Rebecca a Thanksgiving invite. And after... Mm-hmm. After this is home base again, the quitting scene. Greg quits his job.
Oh, yeah.
To the nicest boss ever.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He just wants the best for him.
You're ruining my epic fire. Rebecca quit.
He's like, I'm so proud of you for moving on with your life and following your dreams.
Go get him, Tiger.
It's the best. It's it's contrary to every other quitting scene in entertainment.
Yeah. And it's okay. So self-referential because they mention all the Netflix movies he watches.
Into preparing. And Jerry Maguire, the quitting scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this, yeah, it's sweetest boss ever, Kevin. Mm-hmm.
I just got a dental procedure. I know I need to irrigate more.
and at this point, we go back to, we're back at the grocery store where the invite really happens. And Rebecca says to Paul, "You're an evil genius." Later on, we'll find out how she got this invitation, how she knows where Mrs. Chan was. I'm not going to
say. This is still season one. I think it comes up.
It's
right.
It's, yes.
End of it. Yeah, it's over the first watching, like, it didn't even occur to me that it was weird that they would just happen to, like, because it's set up like a sitcom in the entire first season. So, of course, it doesn't seem weird to the viewer that she would run into the mom and get invited and have this beautiful song, which we'll talk about later.
Okay. And then we end up at Greg's house. We meet Greg's dad. I'm not sure what his name is, but he likes to indulge in drink and unhealthy food.
Is he eating a piece of lard?
I think so.
Because I was like, is that cheese? No, that's not cheese, but that's not meat.
I think they make a joke about it being straight up lard,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he owns some birds.
I know. And their family sign, Serrano's, has a bird on it.
Just... What a cute family.
I know.
Oh, and his name is Marco Serrano. It said it in the article in the background.
What article?
Oh, like, they were showing the house, you know, and they're like, Serrano's, and has the sign in the back. And then there's an article that talks about how the favorite Serrano's is going to close, and the owner, Marco Serrano, says that he's been a casualty of the mollification of the suburbs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
in case you're wondering, that was from June 5th, 2000. So we have a general idea of when he lost his job.
Oh,
dang.
My gosh. That's great.
I rank with Paula. All right.
Yeah. I like this.
Girl does her homework.
Does her homework, backs up why Greg might be so mad about living in the suburbs and hate Applebee culture.
Oh,
love it.
Okay,
that got us off track. Sorry.
that was a really good detail. I think with the 2000 timing, like, I think the divorce comes after.
Oh,
so
the plot thickens.
Hey, then we end up at Rebecca's house. She's in, like, super Rebecca mode, so she is learning Tagalog and baking and, like, making Filipino food.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Well, why do one when you can do two?
Because they both can't possibly be complicated.
Not if you're a Harvard grad, that's obviously.
True. Oh, did she go to Harvard? I missed that.
Just kidding.
Okay. All right, and then we go into the song,
okay,
which I guess is called "I Give Good Parent."
Yep.
And this is, I think, the first moment where Rebecca is kind of being real about her motivations. Like, I'm going to take Valencia down.
I think it is. Yeah, that is super important, and it's awesome too because it's all based on, like, her motivation and how she feels about herself, which is she knows she's smart and cool. Like,
yeah,
that's a one positive thing she's done for herself.
So she is at Thanksgiving, dazzling the family. We go to Paula's dinner, very quiet, awkward. Eventually the son is asleep at the table. Mm-hmm. At Greg's, there's a lot of cutting, like, quick cuts. Like, these scenes seem especially short in this episode.
Uh-huh.
Then when we return to Greg's on Thanksgiving, Greg's dad is collapsed on the table. He ends up in the hospital. Mm-hmm. His emphysema has progressed to stage two, so he needs medication that is not covered by their insurance. Let's see. And then there's a confrontation in the Chan's kitchen between Rebecca and Valencia. Should we go back to the song?
We can go back after we recap the whole thing.
Okay. And then Rebecca ends up in the family photo.
Yes.
I don't belong here. That's ridiculous.
And back at home base, Greg asks for his job back, which he, of course, gets because Kevin is
the nicest boss.
Yes.
But he's passive aggressive about it. You know, like, oh, yeah, you can have your job, but you lost all your seniority. Here, go clean some toilets, huh?
I kind of think it's fair.
Fair boss. Yeah. Okay. Is that when we find out the busboy quit over network, which is, yes. I love when TV mentions, like, network. It's like, so many shows do it. It's so stupid. It's like a gem.
Then we end up back at the Chans. Rebecca's asked to Mass. She has stomach issues. She goes up to the bathroom, and then she gets stuck there. Because
bow chicka bow wow.
But not for her.
not for her.
Not for her and her irritable bowels. But in the next room. Picture this, Josh and Valencia.
Nothing makes irritable bowel syndrome worse.
Yeah, they start out fighting over about Rebecca, and then they make up. Let's see. We're back to the hospital, and Greg and his father are talking, and I guess it comes out that Greg has paid for his father's medication with his savings that he planned to use to go to college.
Yeah.
And his father tells him, save yourself like your mother. So we get an indication that maybe Greg is kind of mistaken about how
his dad feels about him,
or how he feels about his mother.
They're just hinting at it at this point.
The dad has some abandonment issues that have still resonated to this day.
Yeah,
poor guy.
I thought that was kind of a crappy thing to say, because like.
We all say it, though. You get one of those moments.
But he's like, oh, you just paid my medical bills. Why'd you do that? You should have just ran away like your mother. Like, that was uncalled for. I don't know.
But then he also says it in other ways. Like, you know, what would my father have done if I talked to him like that? Well, he probably would have said, thank you for saving my life, son.
He's yeah.
Like, yeah, my father would if he was a saint. Aww. So, I mean, like, he does both ways.
Yeah. I was picking up on the good stuff, like when he was like, or even just the stuff I was picking up on a lot of was just how nice Greg was to his dad.
How
much he picks up on his father's likes and dislikes, and like the whole like sweaty butt,
by the way,
a pillow under his butt.
Yeah. I really want a t-shirt that says, I am the captain of my own ass.
I do too. It was great.
Okay. And then Rebecca, we have. I have run to the bathroom again, which she was already
she's
in there.
She's been holding her poo.
She's yes, just been for there
like
for
hours
while.
In this episode.
Yeah, which I find incredible and not realistic.
Yeah,
because she seemed like she really had to go, and I don't know how she waited that long.
Yeah,
maybe she like has like clenching exercises.
I guess
she's just a really uptight one.
Her anal retentiveness really paid off at this moment.
Type A's. There's something good coming your way.
Okay. And we end up back at Paula's, and Scott, her husband, like, let's have a moment of silence for Aunt Judy, which it's not a laugh joke, but I thought it was cute because they've been silent the whole time.
Yeah. Well played.
And then after that, we're at Rebecca's. Greg stops by. He brings tacos and tequila.
I don't know.
No, I was just like, has a look.
Tacos are their thing.
That's their thing. Yeah. And that's
like. Yeah. It's like a redo.
I was just thinking, like, that's the lame date I would go for.
Aww.
It's sweet enough.
When he comes over uninvited, which would piss me off because I'm kind of crazy about, like, call first. Yeah. But. Okay, and
which
then
it is such a sitcom thing, but
And they are a little past courtesy, like you said, because they've, you know, stuff's happened.
But they haven't had sex yet.
No, but she had sex with someone else on a date, so I think that counts as past courtesy.
So sex is involved in their relationship.
Oh, see, he got to watch, kind of, because he came afterwards. She got to watch her guy. Yeah. Circle of life.
We're really missing our targets, but oh,
he could have. He could have watched because he was right there when he left.
I know he could have. They did not show the window. We don't know.
Greg is a peeping Tom. Okay, so
yeah. Oh, he's so cute. It would be okay.
He's such a cute peeper.
Did I miss? I think I missed a song. Well, anyway.
Oh, yeah, because there's two in an episode, right?
Yeah, it was the Hey West Covina song. Greg sings it at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
How could I miss that?
Something on a
Thursday? We can just talk about Greg and West Covina now.
Yeah. The song reminded me of, like, Piano Man.
Yeah.
But it was, like, inverse Piano Man because he's like, no one's here.
Yes.
Nobody cares.
My dreams have been crashed and dashed and stomped on. Thanks, West Covina.
Yeah.
I'll get you a beer.
Is it technically a reprise? Was it like following the same melody as like the earlier West Covina intro stuff?
I don't think it was.
No. Yeah. It really did kind of follow the melody, at least at the beginning of the Piano Man. So, I mean, like.
Yeah. Yeah, because he has his own reprise of it.
Oh, yeah.
Later when he goes back to the bar, right?
Probably.
Probably. They're smarter than us.
They're so smart.
These writers, they know what's up. Yeah, I love that song. That whole episode, even. A lot of it for me is just so personal. It's like I moved back to a suburb to take care of my sick mom. So this was one episode where I'm like, oh, Greg, I'm Greg. But I'm not as like nice and sweet. And I've never gotten that close to moving out and all kinds of stuff. But it's like, oh, yeah, I would sing that song. I would have that taco date.
Thought it was really cute with the taco, because if you notice, there's like this one part of the scene where there's Pepto-Bismol and there's tacos and there's tequila, and I was like, "Oh, this is beautiful."
Oh, and what were I didn't pay enough close enough attention this time, but what were they watching?
Oh, they were watching. Hang on, let me check my six pages.
I would say there's notes. Someone's got it. Oh, they were watching what she usually watches with her mom,
the World Dog Award.
Yeah, and they were saying like, "Oh, that dog could use a juice cleanse."
Oh.
Yes. So, Greg was participating in her Thanksgiving tradition.
He was. Well, yeah.
Becoming like her mom. I'm sure they had that conversation.
No. Yeah.
That seems like a Naomi joke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Earlier in the episode, she says that she tells Paula that that's what her and Naomi do.
Well, they kind of share each other's, right? Because then she puts the pillow under his butt or next to his butt, and she's like, no one likes a hot butt.
Yeah.
And she's like, what happened with Dad?
They've got the, like, familiarity thing going. Like, he's already been around when she's pooping. So they're doing things way out of order.
He heard her say, my butthole's the gateway to hell. I mean, that's
She thought she was talking to Paula when she said that, but she was like, oh.
Oh, nope.
Oh, hey there.
It's Greg. Who just came into my house, like, uninvited. But
running up the stairs, clench, Becky, clench.
I seriously love that we have decided that she could hold her butt that long because she's anal retentive.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it must be.
You gotta have a benefit.
Yeah. We found one.
It's not just regular fear and shame. It is an entire lifetime worth of just pure anxiety.
But it is amazing how Greg and Rebecca keep giving each other chances again, you know? Because they find something in each other. Like, you know, sometimes second chances are like totally stupid, but sometimes you can. It seems to not be horrible.
Yeah, it plays off as really cute.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to decide, like, clearly it's because it's TV and that stuff is cute, but if that was real life, is that really cute? Or is that crossing the line? Just the whole, like, giving each other all these chances and, like, I brought up earlier, like, they hadn't had sex at this point.
Yeah.
So, like, have they just crossed the line into, like, being very, like, brother-sister?
Or is it easier to give someone a second chance before sex is involved? Like, once sex is involved, have you crossed the no more chances line?
Huh. This would be exciting information I would need. I tend to have sex right away with people. I don't, like, have that weird waiting period of, like, is this what's going to happen or not going
to
happen?
I tend to bro up with people.
Yeah. Yeah, bro up. Exactly. Yeah. Bro up is the term.
Yep.
The proper noun. Just like put it all on the table. I mean, like, and this is what Rebecca does too, typically, right? Yeah. She typically just throws her shirt off and is like, these are my boobs.
Yeah.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah. I got those London nanny boobs.
Yeah. I want to suck them.
Yeah. Okay. But I feel like Greg also kind of sees her for who she is, where it's one of those things, like, when she looks at Josh, she's like, you're this amazing, magical unicorn. And he's not. But Greg looks at her and he's like, yeah, you're flawed and you kind of suck a lot of the times, but you're actually also really great.
Yeah. So. And that kind of, like, where things are, like, at this point in the series is maybe the most, like, a romantic comedy. I don't know.
Yeah.
'Cause, like,
yeah.
Because Greg's definitely – and I don't think they should be together, but at this point – he just seems like the sweet guy who, like, she can be her full self with or whatever. But
yeah. Well, seeing how as I've seen a total of like 13 episodes or something like that, at the moment he seems pretty great. Like, you know,
yeah.
So it might just be because I'm flawed and I haven't seen up.
But
to
I've seen the rest
two.
Too, and like I like he's the reasons he's not great or like I want to roll my eyes and be like, oh, he sucks. Is like. He's just immature in the same ways Rebecca is, so that's not a good combination of people together.
And on our last episode, we tried to map out everyone's, like, happiness, cynicism yeah. versus optimism, and Greg's very cynical to, I feel like, a self-defeating
yeah.
point sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And that's not inherently bad. It's
no.
just it limits him as a person
it
and
does.
How much he can love or receive love.
Well,
or...
now he can look upon that and have some reflections and he can work on those
he
issues.
He can work on those issues with not Rebecca, not spoiling anything.
not
we
Rebecca.
All know she's not right, but. And it's frustrating because when you just think about life in those terms, you're just like, is that how relationships work? Does it work out with like the guy who knows you so well and has that romantic comedy like friendship
yeah.
or are you stuck with like the delusional like
yeah or are you
bro
stuck
love?
In a poly marriage right?
or a poly like, marriage yeah
where all happiness goes to die.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's plenty of happy people out there but
I don't think any of them are on this show.
None of them are on the show and I'm
not wholly happy, compartmentalized
yeah.
happy maybe.
Is that that's probably the secret then?
I mean,
in dating and life,
you can't give it. It's we want
you
so
can't
badly,
give it your all.
We want so badly to give it a formula, and it's like there's no formula. Because I feel like Greg has a lot of you know. I don't want to spoil. Like
you can spoil.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Spoil within like a season or
well,
like five
okay.
episodes.
I'll finish watching.
Spoiler alert. I think
this happens.
2 weeks
before I have to write my 5 pages of notes.
I think that you've seen this far if you've seen the first season. Well, okay.
I've seen most of the first season.
What's the last thing you remember happening?
I don't remember because my brain has been immersed in these episodes. Oh, I know he's dating Heather, right?
Okay.
Like
okay.
they have a little thing and there was the party bus
yeah.
and she does the stripper pole thing.
Yeah.
She's like, look at me, look at me.
I think that's
going
to be our drunk episode, by the
yeah.
way.
Oh, yes.
Really? Because we all hate it?
Because yeah,
it seems appropriate.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
It's an uncomfortable episode.
It is.
We've all put ourselves out to that level, and it's uncomfortable to even think about someone else doing it.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like a zombie movie setup. Like, everybody's
yeah.
trapped in the room.
Yes. yes.
It's like a
I
capsule.
Have no one.
It's a capsule episode, and it's also like...
But on
just,
a moving party bus?
Yeah, oh. on a moving party bus. It just seems like a sociology
yes.
experiment or something.
And then she brings someone on, and then she's like, oh, I'm still alone.
Yeah.
Yay.
Just a little... Which is my... I don't know. I really... Not to talk about this episode too much, but like I really love that moment because good for everyone else
oh,
for getting along and having
yeah.
like just not being obsessed with Josh. Like
yeah.
good for everyone for having like complete inner workings and inner lives that are interesting.
Well, yeah, and she could have always like joined one of the groups.
Oh, yeah,
but she didn't.
Yeah, no, because she's just obsessed on this one goal for most of season one, which
yeah.
is. Not getting with Josh, which is, you know, getting with Josh.
She's also, I know there's a term for this, like an artifice or something. Like, not artifice, but...
What's the definition?
it's like a lot of good, you know, like getting unlikely people together in a room and staying there. You know, it's either like you're at a job or you're stuck somewhere. Like she's that person for this show because she just comes up with all these like tricks and like scenarios that like she just tricks everyone into thinking they're going to get something they want and going to the same place. It's like that over and over again. So she really does a good job at like bringing people together and then like not getting anything out of herself.
Yeah, I think the theme of this episode, she says, Rebecca says in one of the first scenes, people don't always get what they want.
Yes. And I posted that on 4th of July on Twitter because
happy holidays.
Yeah, I was like, it is it's a holiday, Paula. Maybe she did say Thanksgiving, but it's a holiday. People don't always get what they want.
I think she said it's a holiday.
Yeah. Which is nice and vague, and like it hit me because I was watching it then, and it's like 4th of July is not a big deal holiday.
Yeah,
but I was watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend by myself at my mom's house where I live, and I'm 30. And I was like, oh, I feel really bad about myself. You don't, things don't, like, life doesn't always take you where you want it to or what you think. Or, like, 4th of July, you expect to be, like, blowing stuff up into someone's backyard, which surprisingly, I ended up, like, still, like, playing with fire in someone's backyard. It's still, like, I still had friends, guys. Turns out I had friends, but I had to, like, all of them? Make it happen.
Yeah, objectively.
Objectively.
You have all the friends.
I could name them all, but. With stupid nicknames, but what if they listen? guy that reminds me of my mother.
Oh, I know who that is because I'm Moosh's friend.
Drunk ex-boyfriend of my friend. No. Thank God I don't date my friends.
I think I left out something major.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fight and making up, Josh and Valencia decide to move in together.
Yeah.
And that's announced
at Thanksgiving.
That's
like the most important, like, plot
point. And then she says, I do, right?
Yeah.
Because she thinks it's just like one step away from marriage.
Uh-huh.
And I've moved in with guys and I feel the same way. I'm always like, oh, this means we'll get engaged in a year because I have 1970s ideals in life, huh? So it was really crazy that was like her response and.
Yeah.
She'd already planned out where they were going to live.
Of course she did.
Yeah, she did.
Is moving in with someone really that big of a step, though?
No.
I've lived with one person, and I didn't think of it. Like, yeah, it was like he wanted to move in more than I did, but he kind of, like, talked me into it.
Ew.
Yeah, clearly
that's
it didn't work.
That's
kind of
yucky.
I know it's yucky. I'm not with this person anymore. But I remember like being like, I truly don't know if we should move in together, and asking people and then being like, dude, I don't know. Like that was like the general. And but I have like a torrid history with roommates and I needed a roommate.
Yeah.
And like it was almost like I was too lazy to like find an alternative.
It feels like a lot of relationships to me, and I could just be really cynical right now, but it seems like a lot of relationships are just people like, oh, well, we have to live together, we have to get married because we can't afford not to.
It's just, yeah.
And
rent's expensive. Yeah.
It is.
It really is.
I was talking to someone at work about like where I wanted to move, what part of Detroit, like what apartment building, how much the rents were.
Yeah.
And they're just like had no concept of it because they're like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Like my wife and I like make that. And I was like, but I don't have a wife.
Yeah.
My wife can't help me out on like. And this is going to like sound so stupid to like people nationwide, but like an $850 apartment. Like I was like, ugh, my wife can't help me with that.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of economic pressure like drives people together. Mm-hmm. When the economy takes a downturn, the divorce rate goes down because people can't afford to get divorced.
Yeah.
And
that's super true too.
That's so depressing.
I don't know how many friends I have too that just won't get divorced because they can't afford to,
or maybe they have some kind of pre-existing condition and like they'll lose their medical insurance or something.
You could do that. You could.
Families are also real dicks when it comes to divorce. So
yeah, I guess it would be. It's not like a normal breakup.
Yeah,
maybe.
But there's something telling when Valencia was talking to Josh, and she's like, "I'm most thankful for Rebecca, because if we weren't fighting about her, we wouldn't be moving in together."
And that's this is all just a horrible reason to do things.
Yes,
because it's like they made the decision, like, kind of like in the throes of their post-fight sex, and so that's a great time to like make a big life decision.
Oh yeah, but also it was an overdue decision that, like, yeah, they at this point absolutely, if Josh. It means what he's been saying over the last few episodes, which is he loves Valencia. He wants to, like, be with her. Then they should have been moved in together a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm not usually on the, like, pro one, the pro marriage, the pro baby.
But if you mean train, what you say.
But I do believe in honesty. And if that's, like, if honestly that's all that's going on in Josh's head and that's what he wants, like, he yeah, they should have been moved in together a long time ago. And
yeah,
I think I'm always on Valencia's side, too. She's. Yeah. A very compelling, like, woman to me. Like, she's set up as this, like, stupid villain, but she's not. She's, like, just a smart, emotionally honest person. I respect that. Plus, she gets better and better. Every time they write her, she gets so good. And that's another one where, like, you don't want to give any spoilers away, but, like, she's a cool character.
Well, I'm glad, because at the moment, she still doesn't
you
seem
still
that
hate
great.
Her. Yeah, you're giving me death eyes.
I'm giving... Well, these death eyes are meant for Valencia. She's unkind. and, like, you know, just thinking episode 7, which I know we're not talking about yet, but there's a situation, a table situation, and she's a real dick about that, too. Mm-hmm. Or a real jerk. I think she
is. Oh, yeah,
is.
She yeah. is. Yeah, that one, yeah, she's not justified in that. Yeah, which... I guess we could start talking about...
I'm down.
Yeah, let's just do it. Because the only other thing is, like, if we wanted to, like, talk about holidays and, like, favorite family stuff.
Well, we can always
loop back around.
After this, we could talk about either or episode.
That way it's all on the table. Because, they match so well thematically, I think,
they
at
do.
This point.
Yeah. Last time I did a recap, I had notes. This time, I don't. I started to take notes, and it just felt really oppressive. And I just wanted the really scatterbrained whatever.
This feels really structured, like collared shirts.
Like, I had to throw off the shackles of notes. And this might jump around.
This is the notes side of the table. That's
right.
Side of the
notes. No notes.
You guys.
We got your back.
Yeah, taking notes you got in me. Real time? No.
So
also, notes and quotes. That's what we got.
This is the episode I want to say, like, I didn't fully rewatch because I don't think I've rewatched it that often, but it's a really real episode to me. It's
oh why?
It's just all about anxiety and depression.
Oh yeah,
like 100%. I don't even think there's a B and C story. Well, there is.
There
the B story is like affairs, and I'm just like, all of this hurts.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
watch
yeah.
any of this.
Okay, so episode 7.
But I'll listen to it.
It's called. I'm really glad Josh is happy. Is that what it's called?
I'm so happy.
I'm so happy, happy Josh that Josh is happy. Is happy. Okay, but here's the thing. The episode starts off, and like it's almost like she's trying to be accept what's happening gracefully. For her, it does start off with them just literally like stalking him and watching him him and Valencia unpack their moving truck.
But she got him a rice cooker.
But she has this present, which is a rice cooker, which is a staple of both
their cultures.
Yeah,
their non-white cultures.
Yes. What is Valencia? Is she?
They said it specifically, but she's some sort of Hispanic.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, Hispanic and Filipino both use rice a lot.
Yes.
So she got them a rice cooker, and it's kind of a cute gift. But Paula is like, I don't know. Paula's really being pushy in this episode because Rebecca's like, I just really, you know, I just have this gift and I wish them well. And she's like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, Greg is your Jacob. And we all know you're going to end up with Edward because you're Bella.
Yeah, and there's some humor in, like, just Paula just having really bad taste in things. She's like, it's the best romance. Twilight's the best romance since Shakespeare.
In love.
And so then Rebecca's not sure if she's going to walk up and give the present. So she calls Josh to, like, pretend that she's not already there. And, ask if it's cool if she comes over. She sees Josh look at his phone and ignore the call.
which makes her very sad. And
yeah, that's kind of when she loses it.
Yeah. So after that,
I reject and respectfully decline this feeling.
Yeah. So after that, she goes to the office and she's feeling really bad. And she says, I reject and respectfully decline this feeling. She's like freaking out. There's a really important client coming in, and she goes to her office. And she's freaking out, and she is trying to focus, and she tries to, like, write a sentence, and it turns into being about Josh. And she's like, what's wrong with me? And so she reaches under her drawer, and she has a bottle of vodka that says, don't drink this, Rebecca. Like, she left herself a note.
On, like, a cute pink post-it.
Yeah.
Well, then why do I have you at work?
Yeah, she's like, why do I have you here then? And then so she
kind of the first Alice in Wonderland reference.
Yeah! Are there more?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Man. Yeah, it's very Alice in Wonderland, like, goofy, like big, like novelty notes and stuff. But so she pours vodka into her pen cup, which has a bunch of ink in it. Then the client gets here, this dashing gentleman, Calvin Young, and they sit down. And as soon as the table's hers to sort of make a presentation, she brings her cup of ink vodka into the meeting with her.
It's because vodka doesn't smell.
Vodka really not smell?
Vodka smells.
Okay. Yeah.
One thing I love that the show does is they're really good at making dark alcoholism jokes. Like,
yeah.
Just constantly the whole season or series.
I like that I can't actually remember if vodka smells or not, which makes me like Chris. I'll just believe anything the show says.
You're so cute.
So she gets up to make a presentation. She takes a swig of her ink vodka, and they're like, oh my God, your teeth are blue. And she's like, my teeth are blue. And then it just cuts like, we don't even, like, Calvin's just like, I don't know, excused or something. And they're like, we'll do this presentation later, is probably what they do. But she goes into her office, and Daryl's like, just go home.
Yeah, I have a clip from this because I love the acting in this. So
okay.
We'll, like, cue that up and listen because it's just so, I don't want to say it's sweet. It's actually, it's like a lot of things, but.
Yeah, it's a moment where, like, oh, is Daryl a real boss? No, he's a sweet guy.
Yeah. Aw.
What happened to you in there? That's not the Rebecca I know. I mean, something is wrong. Karen said that she smells vodka on you.
That's ridiculous. Vodka doesn't smell. Listen, Daryl, I know I didn't bring my A game.
I think you need to go home.
Wait, are you taking me off the case? Please don't take me off the case, because if you take me off the case, that means I'm not working. And if I'm not working, it means I have to think thoughts.
Okay, you're not off the case. But go home and work on the presentation. And then when you come back on Monday, I want you to be the happy Rebecca that we all know and love.
Such a good tip. So helpful. Be happy.
A good clip. Just be happy.
Yeah,
just be
happy. And the way that, like, that music comes in, like, oh, yeah, such a good tip. Like, it gets so dark so fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she goes home, and yeah, this is all pretty real, but like the scene, as soon as she gets home, Paula calls and asks if she's okay. And she's like talking in her normal voice to Paula, yeah. Which just like, oh God, like when you're like depressed, but like you have to act like you're not to mm-hmm. like, cause you don't want to.
And she uses all the like the right euphemisms, like, oh yeah, I'm just tired. I'm going to like walk it off.
Yeah,
I'm, like,
super busy. Yeah. Gotta go. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then she puts on the phone and her face just collapses. Yeah. And it's like, oh God. And she is watching some French movie. Mm-hmm. Where the character is saying, I'm so tired, I'm so depressed.
Like, me too.
Yeah, and then it goes into this amazing song.
I'm in a
sexy French depression. So it puts her into a black and white French movie where she's smoking and wearing sunglasses and drinking dessert wine and eating chocolate.
Uh-huh.
And
sometimes she's in a sexy dress and sometimes she's in her, like, brown cardigan.
Yeah. And it goes back and forth from, like, being, like, kind of just, like, a normal song. But then, like, she has these tangents. She's like, my anxiety's so out of control that I can't even stop. The only thing I can think about is thinking about what I'm thinking about. And
yeah.
And it's like, oh, Jesus.
Hey, honesty. How you doing?
Very real song. And there's entire parts that are just in French without, like, it's not subtitled or anything.
Yeah.
And I like meant to look it up, but I haven't. But I think there's one where it's just like all I can do is read old AOL Messenger chats. It's in French. You know I don't know for sure.
I must have watched it with the subtitles on because yeah, it actually she does that say one. That. Yeah, she's like, I rented a film about John Wayne Gacy, and I'm reading old AOL Instant Messenger chats with my college boyfriend.
Oh no!
It's like, God, why are you doing this to yourself? So I forget if it's before or after the song starts, but Dr. Phil is in this episode, yeah. Which is like kind of annoying to me, but also I feel like they so Dr. Phil starts appearing to her kind of like in her imagination, and
when she starts her search for pills,
yeah. So she realizes she's depressed and she starts searching her like kitchen drawers, because when she first got there, she dumped all of her pills down the sink. Which was a very rash move. And yeah. So now she's realizing, because this is kind of like the first time she's been depressed just like this, I guess, since she moved there. And she is regretting throwing out her pills. And Dr. Phil, I think initially he was like on the TV, like describing anxiety or something.
Yeah,
that's
like
how that's how he got into her head.
These are the signs of a panic attack.
Yeah, which I hate listening to people describe panic attacks. I know. It like makes me feel like I'm going to have one.
Yeah.
But true story. So, yeah, so I think from that scene, she goes to Dr. Akopian's office. Yes. And this is where we meet Dr. Akopian. Dr. Akopian, bless her heart, because...
Is that like a Southern insult?
No. Oh, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, she like... This woman puts up with a lot. Yeah. Is going to put up with a lot.
She needs a kayak.
She does.
Wait, why does she need a kayak?
It comes up in a later episode, not spoiler, but I thought you just wanted to
exert some exercise. I exert a little bit, have some exercise. I've not seen that episode yet, so I was
I don't even
kayaks
this.
Must make people happy. I don't know.
Just keep it in mind. Yeah, this poor also wonderful therapist, like,
yeah,
I mean, she's like the dream therapist that actually cares about her patients.
Yeah.
And they set that up right away.
Yeah. And Rebecca tries to just have this very like brief, like, hey, listen, I've done the therapy song and dance. Can you just give me the pills I was on in New York? And Dr. Cobain's like, no. And she's like, what? And
well, I thought it was amazing that her doctor said like the pills were so intense that she was numb and she couldn't feel anything.
Yeah. And Rebecca's like, that's what I want.
Yeah,
numb me up. And she declines, and so then Rebecca kind of storms out, but then uses her bathroom and finds a pill on the floor of the bathroom of this therapist's office, which I think is also her house.
Yeah,
yes.
And she goes home. She Googles. It's a pink pill with the number 55 on it,
because responsible people Google before they take pills off the bathroom floor.
And she finds out that it's like an ADD medication, and she's like, this is exactly what I need because I have to work on this case. And Dr. Phil appears and he's like, are you really gonna take a pill you found on the floor of a therapist's bathroom? And she's like, yeah, yes I am.
Yeah, Dr. Phil.
She takes it.
Your logic has no power over me.
She takes it, and we find that overnight she's put up a mural in her house, painted the wall like kind of like a psycho. There's like a fish on the wall.
So she removed the fish. She removed painted the fish. Around the fish.
She painted around the fish, and she put up Christmas lights. So very productive. And then she just realizes she's like too wired to do anything. So then she calls Heather, and they smoke a lot of weed because she needs a downer. And she is like, shit, now I can't work either because I'm too relaxed. So then her and Heather decided to go to Dr. Akopian's house, and they look in the window and they see the prescription pad, and Rebecca's like, oh, that I'm going for it. And so she tries to go into Dr. Akopian's dog door. She's like, I'm tiny. And Heather's like, oh, you're tiny, but you have those
British nanny boobs.
Those British nanny boobs. So she's stuck in the door by her boobs. And then Dr. Akopian opens the door, and what is she? She's like, hello, governor. Yeah. Or she says something like,
oh, yeah, hello, governor. Please may I have some pills?
Yeah. Okay, so backtrack, because there is another storyline going on. So while Rebecca's been depressed, Paula has been Calvin came to Paula's house for a dinner, and Sparks flew, and God, what's the boss's name?
Daryl.
Daryl. Oh, Daryl was there, and Daryl excuses himself because the sexual tension is so, even Daryl notices it.
Yeah. Which is pretty something.
Yeah, yeah. And so they go to this jazz club, and it's a really cool musical number where it's called His Status is Preferred, mm-hmm. and Paula sings about how he has all these fancy credit cards, and he has hotel rooms with couches in them, and she's wearing this like really like sexy red dress, and it's just this total fantasy of like, look at this man I could have an affair with. So that happens. So then Calvin says, I don't want this night to end, and he pulls out his hotel room key. And so that's where they had just gotten to the hotel, and Rebecca is calling Paula saying, because Rebecca's just failed terribly at getting medication, and she's giving up, and she lies down on like Dr. Akopian's front lawn and is calling Paula to say she can't. She just can't do what she's supposed to do
Heather,
for work.
Can you put the phone in my hand?
Yeah.
It's in my purse. Can you grab it from my purse and put it in my hand, please?
And so she calls Paula. She's like, Paula, can you do the presentation to Calvin? She's like, well, I'm actually with Calvin right now. She's like, what? She's like, yeah, I'm in a hotel room with him. And so Rebecca and Heather book it to the hotel, and they burst in on Calvin and Paula. She's like, don't do it. This is just a band-aid for the fact that your marriage is dead. This isn't going to fix anything. And Paula starts crying and says, it's been 5 years since I've had sex without the TV on and 10 years since someone held my hand. And they start crying and they hug. And then Calvin starts crying and says, I miss my dead wife, which is, yeah. He explains earlier in the episode that he had this great wife and then she died tragically. And they have this crying group hug, and Heather says, this is the most interesting day of my life or whatever.
This is the, yeah, exactly. And she's like eating something at the same time. Yeah, just watching.
And she's just like watching this like a movie. Also, when they get caught trying to break into Dr. Akopian's house, Heather, like, I love how she uses the line, oh, like, God. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm a student. Like, she says that so often. Like, it's your pass for anything, like breaking and entering. Like, I'm a student.
Hey, you find what works for you.
You
go with it.
So so then Calvin, who's just the biggest sweetheart, he's like, you know, a lot of clients would be running from this display, but he says something like, the raw, did you write it down?
I wrote it down. Where is it? You have the kind of no-nonsense honesty and raw emotional insight that I look for in a commercial real estate woman.
Aww.
Yeah. And then...
That's a moment.
What happened? I remember the last scene is just a goof on the sexy getting ready song. What happens in between? Does anything else happen?
There's the table thing.
The table thing! Yes. Okay, oh, so... Yeah. Yes, so also plot... C of this episode is Josh wants to surprise Valencia by getting a table and putting it together, and it's a very complicated like IKEA table or something, and he
we only have pictures in foreign languages of directions.
and
72 steps.
And Greg, Hector, and White Josh are all like, there's no way this table was that hard to put together, but they're doing it like overnight, and at some point they're having this hilarious conversation where the table is an analogy for Valencia. Like, Greg's like, you can still bail on this table. You know, no one really likes this table. And yeah, so that happens.
There's one of my favorite lines of the series, which I just completely forgot about until now. It's Hector, and he's just like, who again, not like an important character, but great line. The nicest thing I've ever done for a woman was pull out, you know, of the driveway so she could
get out. Of the driveway, because they're
It's like a single car, or whatever.
Yeah,
it's back tandem entry. Parking.
It's tandem parking. Yeah, so yeah. You have to move
back, and then you have to go in the back.
It goes on for like a minute. It's amazing.
Hector's the best.
Valencia sees the table. She predictably, it wasn't something that she would have picked out. And she nicely tells Josh to take it back and leaves.
Take it all apart.
Take it all apart.
And then take it back.
Yeah.
In front of his friends or not in front of his
in
friends?
In front of his friends. Oh, yeah. Gross. And like they knew that would happen. They knew that would happen.
But then Josh shows the table to Rebecca.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you think of this table?
And she's like, I think it's perfect. also, backtracking.
Me too.
One of my favorite lines back at the beginning of the episode. Valencia is like, now let's sage the apartment.
Oh my God.
To get rid of evil spirits. Ghosts are obsessed with me.
And then they call it back with, she got mad at you for buying the wrong kind of sage.
Yes, you got the kind you cook with, not the kind that gets rid of ghosts.
And I like how they're like, Josh, we miss your cargo pants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He would look good in cargo pants.
He would look very good in cargo pants.
I mean, he's like the poster boy for cargo pants.
Yeah, you have so much room to put things.
Yeah, and he's all about, like, helping.
No, he doesn't care about any baggage.
No, he doesn't. Yeah.
Just other people's.
Oh, he could carry all the baggage. He's plenty of pockets for baggage.
Plenty of pockets for other people's baggage that they put on him.
And also, like, tools for putting together a treehouse for a kid, like, kids you would just encounter walking down the street. Because I feel like that's something Josh would do.
Oh, it is something he would do. And you can still break dance in it.
Yes.
Has he done any break dancing up to this point?
Not up to this point, but soon after. Because I've seen it.
So where,
man, it's funny how quickly I don't remember him breakdancing, and I've seen the whole.
It'll be coming up.
Say it's an on and off with like him modeling and him like and he's like a singer, but like all those like little small town entertainment industry tropes.
Yeah,
he's got them all. They're all with him.
Because he's so
theater
pretty.
Camp. Oh, so pretty.
So I was curious, what did you guys think about like Dr. Phil coming in on the episode? Because he's kind of like, my take is like, they want to keep the audience, it was like they wanted to remind the audience that this show is happening in like the real world, maybe, and like giving us a frame of reference of like, or what did you guys think?
Well, my kind of feel, sorry, but,
go for it.
Oh, my feel was like it was kind of her better half of her judgment trying to like tell her what
why
she shouldn't.
Why was it Dr. Phil?
Because she happened to see him on television, you know, imprinting. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was for that purpose. I don't think it worked because he's just terrible.
Yeah, like he in real life is objectively not a good therapist or TV personality or
a good actor,
yeah,
which is why he'd be Rebecca's therapist
because he does everything wrong.
But he'd give her the pills.
I know there was a lot of teases for that episode up before it were like, and on this episode, Dr. Phil guest stars. So it's very campy and very sitcom-y.
Is that what it was like when it was airing?
Yeah, and it was like used as a selling point. And then they did interviews talking about like how it was so cool to have him on. And I should have like re-looked at these interviews, see what he said. But it's still very strange because he's not a good therapist.
Yeah. It felt pretty random to me. But I mean, maybe it was just like an attempt to get like a known celebrity on the show.
Maybe the network told them to do it. Hey, Dr. Phil's available next week.
Right. Yeah, it's like, is it trying to be deeper or is it really just a cameo? Or is it just like everyone likes him?
Yeah, it was a little confusing to me.
Yeah, and he's also like such a poster boy for like country boy ideals and stuff, middle America ideals. And like that's not the character she is.
No,
That's not even like as much as like West Covina is like set up as this ideal suburban town. It's set up as this ideal but like very diverse, very interesting town. So it's not even middle America in that way. Like. Is this like the point of view that we're missing from the show? Just the suburban people from like Nebraska and Texas? Like, not really, because he doesn't say anything like that show says it.
Yeah, to me,
he comes in and he's straight up just like her other half of her voice.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. When I mean, maybe there wasn't, like, much rhyme or reason, but to me it just seemed like it also served as a, like, a grounding thing, you know?
Yeah. I think that's probably the best reason, just to, like, as a reminder of, like, because, yeah, you'll get the pop culture jokes of Twilight and so forth, but those are almost fleeting. Like, who even actually really remembers Twilight all that well right now?
I never watched it.
Like, 5 years ago. Like, no one's that invested except, like, Paula.
Yeah.
Paula people.
but Paula, like, people.
Everyone still knows Dr. Phil has been around for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
On TV.
I want Dr. Drew to be on.
That would have been better. Even, like, Maury would have been awesome. Like,
who?
Maury.
Oh, my God.
He's not a therapist, but if he was the one that's just, like, the only line I remember him saying is, like, you're not schizophrenic. You're just...
You have an active imagination.
Yeah. If Maury said it, I'd be totally cool with it. If Dr. Phil says it, I'm a little skeptical.
I feel like he was just saying the very, very obvious things, like, don't take a pill that you found on the floor of a bathroom.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
I feel like that's generally good advice.
Yeah, yeah. He was saying the very obvious things.
Yeah, I guess, too, advice, like, people don't need that advice.
Right, you already know it.
She does. But, like, in general, people do not need the advice that Dr. Phil has for them. So.
That's what makes him good for cable TV.
beautiful Dr. Phil impression.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I wrote that, like, down about, like, how annoying I found that was and strange. And then just that whole episode, too. Like, it. Recapping, it reminds me there's an A, B, and C plot, but, like, the whole Paula thing is just so upsetting to me because it's so, I don't want to say it's boring, but, like, this idea of being married and needing an affair and, like, not having anyone to hold your hand for 10 years is so foreign to me. Mm-hmm. I very much feel like Rebecca in that, like, I don't understand what this woman is going through. She's definitely older than me and, like, has different life experiences. And I don't really feel that often with people in regular life. But to see Paula, or, like, to have, like, this, to have it written in an episode to where, like, this entire subplot bores me.
Huh.
Like,
okay.
I'm just like, oh, yeah, this maybe is what it does to Rebecca. Like, she just has no concept outside of her own brain how to empathize with other people because it's just so out there. It's so foreign. But also a lot of that, too, is just, like, going back to anxiety and depression. That's what that does. Like, all that does is give you one lens to look through.
Yeah.
And they did a really good job of illustrating that lens.
Yeah.
I actually found it kind of skillfully boring, because if you really look at Calvin, like, he is a very boring character.
Oh, he is.
The actor's really good. I think it's well written, but that character is boring, and it's really sad. Like, that this is Paula's excitement. It's this guy who's kind of like a traveling salesperson
and
or whatever,
I guess,
he does.
You know, I guess status, money. Yeah, status preferred too is like it. I think it does, like, list all things like, oh, he's got like a American Express card. Like, God, that's boring. How is that impressive?
The whole thing's very two dimensional, and also, like, he was like, I've been everywhere. And she's like, Paris. And he's like, and she's like, Rome. He's like, I'm more of a domestic traveler. Like, he's like one notch above, like,
but that shows her world. Like, the whole, like, she has a very isolated world. She didn't have all these experiences. She probably, like, got married young, and here she is trapped in this existence that she hates.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I mean,
also not aware of why she hates it so much always.
Or feeling stuck and not able to do anything about it.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, out of all the people, it shows a lot about her condition or her situation.
That she's so impressed by that.
That she's so impressed by, I'm going to pay money to the guy who doesn't even work here so he can seat us at a table.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny that, I don't know if I found it, it kind of was what it was. I don't know. Like, I didn't find it particularly boring, but I do think, like,
Maybe it's just emotionally boring to me. All that is like super boring.
Well, yeah, I would say that like, oh, if you, I want to say like if I was her, and maybe this is like an age thing, and maybe this is just like people our age versus like people 10 years older than us. It's like, well, if I was in a relationship where like I wasn't getting what I needed, I wouldn't stick around for 10 more years.
Yeah, even that's if because you didn't grow up with the small town ideals that I'm sure she did.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of did. I just, like, rejected them.
I kind of agree with you, but, like, her children are delinquents. Like, how do you divorce when they've got so many issues?
Yeah.
Like, she's
that's
kinda,
a good point.
She's kind of trapped there probably until, like, that younger one is out of the house.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think that, like, I don't know. There's no problem with that. Like, of course there's no problem with that. I'm just, like, thinking, like, three steps back, like, still about, like, how just not invested I was. And also, like, he's got a good, like, weird subplot with his dead wife and how he's got, like, emotional issues. And, like, that stuff on paper should be really compelling. And maybe this – maybe it is the writers being, like, really smart about it. Like, like you were saying, like, mm-hmm. it's intentionally boring.
Yeah.
These are, like, big issues, but they are intentionally pushed aside. And then, like, the main thing you get is, like, this goofy plot about taking pills and then getting high and then...
And then talking in British accents.
Talking in British accents. And that stuff, is, like, that stuff is so funny. And to me, like, it's extra compelling. And, like, I don't know how you couldn't relate to that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, everything is...
I'm sure lots of people can, but in my head...
It's obvious.
That's the obvious one. That's the obvious, like,
well, everything in the
winner.
Episode's about self-medication, right? Like, even this affair she's about to have is kind of like self-medication.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's like, I think what they tried to do is they were throwing a bunch of stuff out there, like, you'll relate to one of these for sure.
Yeah, and even in her in her big speech at the end, she's like, you're doing exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah!
You're not facing... The main problem, you're just trying to put a Band-Aid on it.
I get
which
it.
Is what
the
I'm,
advice that I was given.
Yeah,
today.
Like I'm trying to take medication. You're trying to have an affair. Neither one of those are dealing with our actual problems.
Josh is making a table.
Josh is making a table.
He's the only one almost kind of confronting an issue, but not. Because all he had to do is just like, you know.
All he had Josh to do is say like, no, I like the table. I made this table. It's my apartment
table. Or like it's my apartment. I wanted to buy something.
Yeah.
I did a nice gesture.
He also could just know his girlfriend of like a million years better and not get her something she didn't pick out. There, that's an option.
Yeah, like, but I think how do his friends know Valencia better than he does?
Because he's a dummy.
Yeah.
And it was his way of being like, no, I can make this work.
Yeah.
I'm
full
of ideals and optimism.
It's a sad attempt at autonomy that's just going to be smashed down.
Yeah.
Valencia smash.
But yeah, to your point, thinking about like you finding Paula's storyline boring, I honestly kind of find most of Paula's storylines boring.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I like them.
I mean, yeah, that's what do you find interesting about them? I mean, I don't know. She just...
Well, I like, you know, there's this definite difference between Paul and Rebecca. And you see Rebecca in Paula's eyes. And Paula's just like, man, this is what I could have had out of life, but I didn't. And then Rebecca looks at Paula and she's like, I always wanted a mom. And Paula's like, I always wanted a daughter.
Yeah.
And so, like... Those are my Rebecca and Paula. Yeah, I'm doing little hand motions here for those of you who can't see because it's really important. but so and I grew up in a really small town with very traditional values. And so, I mean, like to have like that perspective and now to live in an area where those traditional values are not seen, I get to see both those perspectives. And so it's like, oh, you're the two sides of my world.
Oh, that's awesome.
But no, I mean, like I totally get why Paula would be boring for most people who didn't grow up that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can see, like, for you, just, like, her character at all, like, represents a lot of something you're very familiar with. I also just, like, there's later, like, later in the series, and I don't want to spoil anything, but Paula has other big things happen to her that I feel are treated pretty superficially.
Aww.
Yeah.
So.
But those don't actively bore me.
Well, all right.
I feel like those were done in a way where, like, maybe they're more subtle in how they handled it or they took a different approach. But those feel like these are big issues she's going through and she's addressing on her own without, like, letting other people in her world. And I think it's interesting and compelling and almost, like, heroic. Whereas, like, this this one, just, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's basically because she goes from A and looks at B and then goes back to A again. She's trapped. So, yeah. Like, her plot lines, essentially, she can't move. Like, there's no action because she can't really
But there's
do
no
much.
Action in, like, Rebecca either. Like, she's yeah. trapped in, like, I want to sleep with Josh. Josh won't sleep with me. Well, I want to think about Josh. I don't want to think about Josh. Okay, I'm thinking about Josh because I want to sleep with Josh. And, like, it's just these – they're just so circles. Like, she's not moving anywhere either.
But she does have bigger circles, you know? Like, I'm not going to think about him, so I'm going to
– She has, like, a 10-step circle.
She totally does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to have an upper, and then I'm going to need a downer, and then I'm going to try to go through a doggy door, and then I'm going to get caught with a British accent. Yeah, and then I'm going to go to one appointment, and Josh is going to text me, and I'm going to leave that appointment and be like, okay, great, peace, see you next week, huh? And, like – go have some bubble tea.
She's exhausting.
She's delightful. She's inside my brain.
Yeah. Same.
Twins.
Another thing I was thinking with the Paula thing was when Rebecca comes into their hotel room, I was like, oh, you should just let Paula have this.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Let her okay. have
yeah.
her
yeah, it was yeah. like, she yeah, it's something. Not going to solve anything, but I'm sure it'd be a great night.
She needs a surge of oxytocin.
She does.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to take a moral high ground on affairs just in this one episode. Like, she did deserve it. She did.
She hasn't had sex without the TV on in 5 years.
And let her have some TV-less sex.
Yes. And she hasn't, like, held a hand in 10 years, which means that she hasn't had very emotionally involved sex. Mm-hmm. So she deserves a nice little cherry on top
she needs
of her
some
cake.
Sexual healing.
She
it's a real
exactly.
thing.
It's like therapy.
Yeah,
without
it's better
the charge.
Than therapy. That is the opposite moral of this episode.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
like slap Rebecca, that Band-Aid on.
Rebecca taught us so much about not taking pills and not smoking weed and going to therapy. And
man, I feel like a Dare commercial.
I don't think I'm going to follow any of that advice.
slap it on.
How did you guys, like, I feel like there's a lot to say in the fact that this episode is like maybe the first as like so far the one to confront like really really dark places and emotions, and it's also like super silly and
yeah.
funny. So like, how did you guys feel about like those two things happening at the same time?
Always my favorite. Again, like,
yeah, me too. Like, uncomfortable issues need a little bit of laughter.
They
otherwise
do.
You end up in an icky place.
Yeah.
And like, how can you get such a good joke as vodka doesn't smell?
Yes. And you know what, like, anyone who has suffered from anxiety or depression knows that you need to find something to laugh about it, otherwise you feel like you're gonna die.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what it did. It gave us a laugh so that we didn't end up dead.
Yeah, we just I was doing some writing classes and we just wrote a really dark show. Like, I think, yeah, actually all of you guys saw it. Like,
yeah.
Every other thing was like just super dark. And like the scene I wrote was
sorry, just thinking about it.
Ridiculous. It was about a girl being in a hospital and her mom's like, I'm ready to die with it, peace and dignity. And then this priest is there. And then there's like orgasms happening. And fun fact, based on a true story.
What? What?
So like, yeah.
There was really a woman who felt like she was getting the big O from her medical equipment.
Yeah, I think my mom.
Oh, no.
Was in a nursing home.
No.
And your mom got orgasms from?
Well, she was telling this story about this beautiful white light she saw in the morning and how her like leg twitched and how like beautiful it was and how she's ready to die. And she told that like the way my mom talks sometimes is very obsessive, and she like will tell the same story to every single person she meets. So like, I was there for, you know, as when you're in a nursing home with your parents, like you're there like 12 hours. So over the course of 12 hours, I heard her tell like the two RNs and like all the nursing assistants and like the doctor because she had to make sure it wasn't like a medical thing. And then my sister and me, and then I think her brother, and my mom's actually friends with the priest, so she told her priest.
Oh my god!
And then
dear
she like
diary. I got this. I got a big O, and I'm going to tell everybody I know.
And then she just keeps telling the story, and the more you hear it, you're like, I'm pretty sure she's describing an orgasm, but I can't say anything. I'm her daughter, and luckily she had like this like friend who's a little more like not like outgoing and fun, and she at some point called my mom out, was like, huh, maybe it was an orgasm.
What did your mom say?
No. That's silly. Or something along those lines. God. Just like completely in denial. So
mom.
I was like, yeah,
amazing. That's so great. Now that we know that it's based on our true story, that makes it even better.
And I wanted to pull it from the show because I was like, this is too real. But then we cast it with actors and you see them like saying these funny lines. Like,
Jen Hansen did beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, she's a wonderful local actress. Actor. I like to just say actor for females.
You can do that.
I feel like that's acceptable most of the time, but
table approved.
I always say actor. She's a like wonderful local actor, and I was so excited she got cast in it. And just, but then like you see with like, you know, on stage, and you're like, oh, this isn't uncomfortable anymore. It's kind of funny.
You get like a degree of separation from it.
Yeah, like I don't think I could have ever told that story had I not written it out, seen it on stage. Seen people laugh at like like stupid lines, like, I know the difference between coming and going, Tracy. Like, that's a classic line, and you're like, oh, you put that in something uncomfortable, and suddenly
now it's got some legs.
Now it's got some legs, and you don't feel like dying when you think about like your family or whatever. So I love this show for that reason. Like, clearly it like it just hits all this dark stuff, and like of course, like the one episode too, like Greg's in a hospital with his dad, so like of course I feel like so connected to this stupid show. But he's like a very different character. Like, he's a fun, like, I'm gonna sexy make fun of or like hit on nurses dad. And you're like, that's the family I wish I had.
Yeah.
I'm still Greg, but I'm in a very different family. So.
The same thing with humor. Like, like the way she was like thinking about herself being in a sexy French depression. I actually thought that was helpful. Dr. Phil cuts in and says there's nothing sexy about depression, but listen, man, like, whatever helps you get through it. Like, I've been like depressed and like kind of, I sometimes think it helps to like kind of like think about yourself as being in a movie or like just watching yourself, because like if you're watching yourself, you're like, oh, she's okay.
She's messed up, but it's okay because things are gonna happen.
Right,
that's the arc.
Because like when you're watching a sad movie character, you're not. You're like, oh, they'll be okay. They'll figure it out.
This feeling can't last forever.
When it's yourself, you're like, this is forever.
You're like, this is the worst feeling anyone's ever felt in the history of feelings.
And they're gonna find me under the porch just like this.
Yeah,
like especially with like maybe not. I don't know about depression, but for sure anxiety. You can't be in a. I know everyone says mindfulness is great for anxiety. Like, picture yourself in a chair, and how does the chair feel under your body, and how do your toes feel, and your shoes. That does not work for anxiety.
No.
Like being in the moment is the opposite of what helps being anxious. At least from my experience,
you're already hyper aware in the moment.
Yeah, and like you're saying, like if you want to have a panic attack, listen to Dr. Phil describe having a panic attack. Like, you have a shortness of breath, and like your thoughts are racing, and like you think you're like that shortness of breath starts to feel like a heart attack. If that's like that's mindfulness.
Yeah, you're bringing attention to the
breath. You're bringing attention to your body and how it feels and how awful it feels. And
that's a good point. I mean,
fantasy is like the number one best thing, at least in my experience, against anxiety. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, nothing helps me more than watching a good movie where I'm just like, I will just escape for an
zoning
hour
out.
And a half. And then when I come back, it'll like have dissipated because it's just.
I think in my experience, mindfulness helps prevent anxiety, but once
that seems true.
But once you've reached the point where you're kind of having a panic attack, your brain's going too fast, and you just have to like lie down and like let it like happen, kind yeah. of.
So you're
kind
of like talking,
wait for it to pass.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're kind of like talking about like medication, where if you have your symptoms already under control, you can take less medication. But oh. when you're at a 10, it's going to take longer for you to get back down. Yeah.
If I'm at yeah. a 10, I just lie down until I'm not at a 10.
Yeah.
Lay in a lawn. Like this whole episode is just like
we've all laid on
I've
a lawn.
Had. Like, right. Yeah. Good. Okay. As long as we've all laid in lawns and yes. tried to sleep there overnight.
Yes. Like, or just trying to be like, I'm going to just stay here until my world makes sense again, all right? I'm
yeah.
gonna, maybe the clouds will talk to me. I don't know, but something will happen. And if
I
not,
haven't made it to the lawn. I've stayed in the bed.
It's like, you're a grounded yeah. person.
It's more comfy there. You don't get bit by bugs.
Yeah, there's nothing. I've like laid in a lawn like 3 or 4 times this year.
I love laying on lawns.
It's yeah. great. It's super fun. One time it was like, of course, like it goes back to like comedy in these moments. Like one time it was like, I was at work. Why am I going to describe this one?
Because you love
Because I want
us.
To. It's a funny story, kind, not really. I was at work and we were having an event at a circus and everyone I'm working with is joking about how, like, I'm so afraid of clowns. Clowns are so scary. I'm going to have a panic attack. And I'm like, that's fine. And, like, we're just doing our work and, like, we're setting up for this event. We set up tables and banners and stuff. And just it's in, like, this dark hallway because it's a circus. So, of course, there's lights and sound in Midway games. Ooh. And then just during the course of setting it up, something just, triggered me.
Yeah.
And just, like, that feeling of panic just takes over. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, it's all physical. It's, like, I can't breathe. I need to leave. I need to get out of this space.
Yeah.
And then I left work, and I ended up, like, in a bush.
Yeah.
By a lake. Looking at some geese, and I'm like, this is where I am now. Like, this yeah. is where I'm living. I'm like, I had already called my boss. I was like, I not going back in. Mm-hmm. I should have dealt with this like 6 months ago, but I didn't. Turns out I have a panic disorder.
Yeah.
Not going back in. Turns out I'm the one afraid of clowns.
Oh no.
No, I'm not afraid of clowns. Just, I guess, panic.
Well, yeah.
Fear itself. Breathing.
Well, and sometimes hearing like all the emotions that other people are thinking yeah. they're going to go through, it just like
people
it can
who
start
like
to
such a cartoony, stupid like,
yeah.
but it's
true.
Though.
Well, it's kind of like okay, these people were joking about having panic attacks, and it's like you jerks, like. Yeah. Like, some people actually have panic attacks.
Exactly.
Please stop joking. Oh, wouldn't it be yeah. funny if I had a panic attack? Something I've never
clown.
Actually had.
How you know they've never had it, because they're joking about it.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, you can joke about panic attacks and have them.
You okay, fair.
You wouldn't make a lame joke. Your jokes wouldn't be lame.
Yeah.
Because what are, like, the lamest jokes you can make? One, being afraid of clowns. Two, go.
Being afraid of vaginas?
Being afraid of vaginas? Oh, yeah, that's a super lame joke. Even, like, pill jokes are super lame. I know there's one in this episode. Like, oh, you're going to take a pill off the floor, but, like, oh, you got to take your crazy pills. Lame joke.
I hate those commercials that, like, someone turns down a girl for, like, a taco.
Ew! Yeah.
Gross.
It's oh, like, well, I'm not suspending disbelief.
Maybe we should much. Sent a video recently, and I forget, like, the name of it was, but there was a girl, and she was all angsty, and there was a guy, and he was all like, I need to find out about life. And so angsty girl tries to come out about her feelings, and then yeah. the guy's like, no, you're here to help me grow.
Yeah, that
I
was
know,
a
but it was a joke on something that feels so true.
Yeah, it was like a, I want to say it was a joke on Manic Pixie Dream Girls, but the reverse, which is like depressive downer chick, which I love Rebecca because she's both characters. But yeah, the video was like, let's do a Manic Pixie Dream Girl video, but about the depressive loner chick. But we're going to come around to. And then these girls are all just there for men to process their emotions, and they can't process their own. They're not allowed to in media. Dr. Phil won't let it either. He kept stepping in. I think about this episode, too, is like it made me want to, like, ask you guys what your favorite depression outfit is.
What? Like to wear when I'm depressed?
Yeah, because like she in this episode, she's like they do sexy French depression song, and she's in the same outfit she is in when she goes to the store to get ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
And she runs into Alessia. Yeah, it's like dressed maybe a different down. T-shirt, but it's like this. It's like a it's gray beige sweater. T-shirt yeah. and the same like chunky knit cardigan sweater, probably from Target with pockets. And then, like, sweatpants. So.
See, but my, like, depression outfit, my favorite one, is so similar to what I normally wear that it...
It's subtle. Really it's just hard. For you.
Well, it is because, you know, it's jeans and then I have like this really giant like black sweatshirt and it's one without the zip in the front. And that's how you know I'm depressed because I no love zipper. The zips.
Nothing to play with because there's no joy in life.
There's no joy in life. And I have to pull it over my head and mess up my hair when I want to take it off.
So your hair's going to be in a ponytail anyway.
Hey, you know what? But I have to readjust it. But yeah, so I mean, like that one's mine and it's really big. And so it makes me feel like I can consume the world and it'll be okay.
Yeah,
I remember literally. A couple years ago, I the glasses I have now, I like, but for the glasses I had before this, I hadn't gotten new ones in like 7 years, and they were old and stupid, and I remember telling a manager at my job that like I was having a really hard time if I was wearing my glasses, because that meant I didn't have like the will to put on my contacts, and I also liked viewing them as like, oh, like my glasses are just a viewfinder, and... This is all a suggestion. Like,
ooh, this isn't real.
This isn't real. I'm not like, really that's a fun game I'd play with myself.
Yeah.
So, glasses for me are a device for dealing with that stuff.
I just don't change out of my pajamas. So, that is not getting out of bed thing. Like, I'm not even like active enough to make it outside. And then, but yeah, it's just pajamas all day.
Ugh. Yeah, I do leggings, and then I have, like, kind of like you're saying, it's like a big baggy sweater.
Yeah.
Mine does have a V-neck, because I guess, like Rebecca, I still like to just, like, manically do things and still talk to boys and, like, pretend I'm going to go on dates. And, like, but I'll be, like, super depressed and in, like, a V-neck sweater and leggings on a date, on a Tinder date.
I like still getting out there. Still
who
trying.
Let me play with her Tinder? Wasn't it? Oh, who let me play with her Tinder?
My friend Amanda.
Yeah. I got birthday. To swipe left and swipe right. Yeah.
Fun fact, it was basically the same Tinder because we matched with a lot of the same people.
Yes. So it's like I played with your Tinder.
Yeah. I'd love to find that out about like a mutual friend.
Yeah. I know that we're so similar because we show up with the same results.
Same results. The same guys. That's why Amy's friends with Olivia.
Yeah.
Or both of us. I'm not going to say all of us because that'll imply the table. And
you don't know.
I don't know. I don't know who you're matching with.
No, maybe they can make an app called Friender. You know, like Friend Tinder. You can like find
I
friends.
I think there is an app like that.
No, kill my joy.
There is an app, and I don't. I know this because I read some funny person wrote a bust article. She like signed up for all the dating apps.
Oh,
and it made for a pretty funny story. And there's one that the way it works is you just meet friends of friends. I forget. I don't know what it's called.
Oh,
I haven't used it.
I like that. That's what I initially liked about Tinder.
Yeah.
Was it listed your Facebook friends so you could be like, okay, friend of friend or whatever.
Yeah.
Warning sign. He's friends with all these D-bags.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, that's what I was thinking about. I'm like, I don't know if that's a good thing. But it could be because then you could be like, oh, well, this is a no. This is a maybe. This is a yes.
It's a lot of nuance in dating as a woman.
Man.
Oh. Moment of silence.
Wonder? Moment of silence to that. Pour one out for the homies.
That's right. Oh no, my glass is empty.
Don't pour one out around audio equipment.
Oh yeah, that's a good
also,
moral of the
story. I specifically didn't bring my coffee in because it didn't have a lid, and I do not trust myself around these pretty microphones.
I drank my drink real quick and then tossed it. I have one in here that's capped,
covered. Yeah.
Hey,
I'm still nervous to drink on air.
It is difficult, you know. Yeah. Like you don't want to
say. So Shannon and I are both reckless and with solo cups, so
we are. Yeah, my I almost like was like, hey, can I go refill my solo cup? I should have brought two in, two solo cups. Because I'm an overachiever.
One for each side of my body.
That's right. Well, when we talk about episode 6, there's one. And then there's one for episode 7.
I was thinking more one for the right side of my brain and one for the left side of my brain.
Oh, yes. Would you like some logic or emotion?
I got to dip them both down. So I'll take two beers.
Two beers. I'll take two.
Please.
Such good. Oh, wait. You know what? One thing we didn't talk about. Well, I mean, we kind of talked about it, but not really, was the I Give Good Parents song. Yes.
Yeah.
I got that to go back to.
Who out of here gives good parents?
Oh, I give great parents.
I give great parents. Well, I had a friend. I went, like, I give good parent, but I like to give it also to all my friends' parents where I'm like, oh, you're going to love me. And there was one time I went to a wedding and I met my one of my guy friend's parents for the first time and I gave my parent thing, you know, where I was like, you're going to love me, la, 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 la. I didn't say that, obviously, but there were emotions that went with that. And she, like, gave me stone face and total chill. And I talked to him about it afterwards. She's like, yeah, she's not easily impressed. I'm like, oh, I am impressive. I know. So there's my story with that where I was like, oh, crushed spirit.
So did you go to Harvard?
I didn't go to Harvard, but I'm bubbly and I have big eyes.
I think that's enough.
That's enough.
Can carry a conversation, probably listen.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all we need out of life. I can drink two colored solo cups. I don't know.
I'm standoffish and fine. I don't know.
But that's what makes you endearing and adorable.
We were at a bar last night, and a drunk guy was buying us drinks.
Thanks.
Great story.
Random.
Great setup. No. He's buying us drinks, and I think immediately he's just like, this guy is a nice guy, and like complimenting him, and then like the other friends just like calling him out on stuff. Like, you're nice, you're friendly.
Female friends or?
The nice was a male, friendly was a female.
Okay.
And he's just, like, naming people. And I'm just like, I think I'm nice, but I'm not friendly. This guy totally sucks, too. This guy sucked for buying us drinks. Now, he
kept stupid money.
He kept blowing me off. And it's, like, a super creepy guy you do not want attention from. I should be so lucky as to have him, like, look me at the face and was like, hey, I'm Moosh. And he, like, turns his face and he, like, goes back to the person who, like, introduced herself before me. And he's like, so my daughter's name is blah.
Is this someone
no,
that
he's
we
not.
Know?
No, he's not an improv person. He was at an improv bar, but he was not. He was just a guy. In his, like, 60s or 70s.
What?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Is that an important detail?
Slightly.
Does that change the story?
A little bit.
I think he was hitting on one of our male friends, and then he brought up religion.
Ew!
And he looked me in the face.
Don't do that ever!
And I think I made a face, because he brought up, like, how he was, like, a Protestant minister, and I think I made a face, and he's like, what? Are you agnostic? I was like, no, like, I'm atheist. I go all the way. Like, there is, like, if you're going to question it at all, there's nothing, so there's nothing. And then, again, he just, like, turns his head and, like, ignores me, like, cold shoulders me. It's like, this stupid stranger. Give me attention. I think that's when I started texting Amy. I'm like, no one likes me. No one at this bar. Everyone's a Muppet. I think I told you that.
You said everyone's a Muppet. You said, I'm, like, the odd person out because I don't believe in marriage or good. And I'm like, you don't believe in good, like, the concept? And you're like, oh, sorry, God.
Oh, the good is so much better.
That's right. That did happen.
I only believe in dead flowers and mud.
God, like, what's this angsty girl doing? Who let her out of the house last night? And then that guy followed a friend to a bathroom.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're like, oh, we got to actually step in and, like, not have this be a weird situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gender is meaningless. Creepiness can happen everywhere.
Aw, that's a good sign. Watch out for creepy. It can be anywhere.
It can be anywhere.
So what's the next episode we're doing?
We are doing, 8 and 9. Which I don't remember. I've got to actually look up what happens next in the series.
Yeah.
This is kind of...
One of them, the Christmas episode?
That's got to be soon because Thanksgiving just happened.
And that was one where I think everyone was like, because this series kind of follows an arc with a lot of people I talk to where you watch it and like the beginning's all right. And then it gets good. It's like really good and you're really invested. And then there's like a couple episodes that are just like too uncomfortable.
Okay.
And for me, it's this one where like sexy French depression and affairs. And I'm just like, I don't know if I can stick this out.
Oh, you know what?
And then it goes into the mom thing, which is.
I had to turn actually turned the mom episode off.
Yeah.
Because I felt like it was too real. And
all the judgment.
Like the mom song. I was like, oh, I'm not sitting through this.
Actually, that one's pretty funny, but yeah, it's horrible. It's devastatingly
lobbing insults at her. And
all right, next episodes are I'm checking the Wikipedia because that's what you do. Oh yeah, My Mom, Greg's Mom, and Josh's Sweet Dance Moves. That's where he breakdance. Oh,
that's why I haven't. Okay, that's why I haven't seen Josh's breakdance move because I literally skipped that episode because I couldn't do it.
And guys, guess what? This also means we're drinking the next one because it's going to the beach with Josh and his friends.
Oh, God.
Because
that's
the next one I was going to say. It's like so uncomfortable.
Yep. We got two nice uncomfortable ones. We're going to need some drinks. I get to have 5 solo cups.
Oh my God!
Like line them up.
Gonna
take
line
them
up.
Down.
I'm gonna make them into a pattern of red, blue, red, blue, red.
At some point, can we do an episode where we come up with our top 3 songs and
do we have to perform them?
We could play clips from them. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, like 3 episodes from the series overall so far, or
maybe,
or just in general, things that inspire us. Because I know, like, a while ago, I was trying to do songs that thematically hit the same stuff as stuff in episodes.
We could still do that. That's fun, too.
That's a fun game.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of prep, but it's a fun game.
Ooh.
I give Good Parent, she was definitely, like, dressed like Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah. That was such a, like, yeah.
Oh, God. I love that song so much.
Let's talk about the outfits in that for
a
moment.
Okay. She had, like, at the end of her boobs, it was, like, bird heads or something.
Turkey.
Were they turkeys? Because it's Thanksgiving.
It's important to have a theme.
Yeah. Okay. I was silly for not realizing
TGF,
that.
I'm dazzling the family.
Brought a nice bread.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, and her butt, the butts, like, of the dancers, they said polite, smart, and good hygiene. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, the best.
Mm. Your home's such a beautiful, comfortable place. Bitches, you two have wonderful taste.
It's such a good song.
Mm.
And then I kept, what was, the one thing I wrote down in my notes that I didn't bring was like.
That's the best way. What do you really remember?
Was this before or during the craze to do like the statue challenge?
Statue challenge.
Or was that a classic Tableau, guys?
I ignored whatever that was because it was like a week. Like, it didn't last long.
Like, in the show, it was a classic Tableau, I'm sure. But it was just, like, it just reminded me of, like, oh, this, like, timing-wise. Statue Challenge is, like, basically do a Tableau and, like, walk through the crowd and be like, hey, bitches.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know that either.
Stupid tangent, whatever.
No, I love it.
Because, like, I always want to, like, figure out, like, it's harder when you rewatch a series or when you binge-watch a series, but, like, with network TV, it should follow, like, I mean, I feel like it has to because they're writing it in the moment. It should follow, like, certain trends and stuff.
Yeah.
The whole Valencia song followed, like, I Kissed a Girl and, like, a bunch of other songs like that were, like, out in that moment. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's going somewhere, too, in my head, but.
Where'd you go? Can
it's
we find
it? It's
a lot. A lot of songs have messages that would never be in a real pop culture song, though.
Right? Yeah, they're all subversive in that way.
Like the Valencia one, where she's just like, "Fuck all y'all bitches."
Such a good song.
Is it a country song, or is she just dressed kind of country?
She's dressed kind of country.
Is that the one where she's trying to, like, motivate and, like, have some friends, and she says all these horrible things?
Yep.
And she's like, I don't understand why girls don't like me.
That's just such a great trope.
Ghosts are obsessed with her, too. It's going to be rough.
Ghosts. It's so hard. Everybody wants to have sex with me, including the ghosts.
Why doesn't everyone want to have sex with me?
Why?
Do you guys remember when Anna Nicole Smith claimed to have sex with a ghost?
No. Oh, God. That
memory.
Makes me so upset.
It was one of her claims to fame. Is she like, There was a ghost.
I mean, her husband was basically dead.
Yeah, that's you. Oh, God. No. I do want to, like, I want to wrap up, but I'm like, I'm trying to also make sure, like, we didn't miss any songs or notes.
Oh, at the end of episode 6, one thing that we didn't talk about was Paula still watching as Greg and Rebecca have the pillow fight.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, all my work for nothing.
Yeah.
But I mean, like,
she's
like
very
it's
against
thing.
Greg most the entire time,
but
right?
But she thinks Greg is hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I wonder, does she see someone in her life as Greg or possibly Josh? Let's ask Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
No, he's so smart.
He's so smart. He knows not to eat pills off the floor.
But I'm on the same page as Steve Harvey in my head. I hate them equally.
Aww.
Which is one of the things people say when they defend Steve Harvey. They're like, he hates everyone equally. Like, oh, it's the worst. Well, I guess we'll have to prep for all of that next week.
Yeah. So are we doing this? Are we?
Yeah, then we're going to have to drink next time.
Oh,
so
everybody bring
for
your
those
ride.
Two horrible, horrible episodes, we'll have to be drunk for it.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to apologize a lot. I get very affectionate and very apologetic.
I will probably giggle and scream more.
I will probably I'm going to crawl over this table and hug you guys. Like, that's just going to happen. I'm sorry, Amy, how do you get?
Oh, louder.
Just
happier.
Louder.
It's going to be such a loud episode.
So just turn the mics down and start screaming.
Oh, my God.
It'll feel good. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We will be back again next week, 2 weeks. We haven't decided. We'll decide.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. This show's not going anywhere. Actually, we have a release date for season 3.
It's
October 13th, I think. So maybe we should time around that, but I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely be done doing, like, the recaps
by probably.
Then.
I don't know how math works, so I'll check it out.
Yeah.
I think there's 12 or 13 episodes in season 2. It's just shorter.
It seems almost perfectly timed, because then once season 3 starts, we could,
do it in live time.
Yeah, do it live, react.
Which would be my dream.
This is great.
But until then, keep following us on social media. The handles are going to be CrazyXPod.
Ooh.
So that's on Facebook, on Twitter as well. And then we have everything posted through Podcast Detroit. So you can check us out there as well. And we will catch you again next week. This is Moosh.
Amy.
Angela.
Shannon.
Who I guess we will invite back.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
I made it.
It's because of your notes.
It's because I made two copies, you guys.
She says she gives good parent. She's not wrong.
Oh my
You've
goodness.
Been approved by us.
I'd like
We're
to thank,
almost like parents.
I'd like to thank the three people currently on the show and Podcast Detroit and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend for being an amazing show. That was my
It's so touching. It's so touching. All right. We will catch you guys later. Have a great one.